The Colts are starting to solidify their coaching staff, and one of the moves is one that we did not see coming. Let's get to it.
You are Locked On Colts, your daily Indianapolis Colts podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Thanks for tuning in and making us your first listen of the day. This is your daily podcast covering your Indianapolis Colts, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. A little bit of a different setting for you guys here today. We are here at the Combine, here together. We're not across the country this time. I'm Jake Arthur. He is Zach Hicks. You know the two of us from horseshoehuddle.com. So if you watched yesterday's show, it was just me. So today we're going to discuss some of these coaching updates, I guess, from the Colts. Gus Bradley is going to be staying on as defensive coordinator, which is really not a big shock to anyone. We'll see how much of his side of the staff sticks around as well. That's still to come. But the biggie, this is kind of a tough one for Zach. We've reportedly got a new offensive line coach in town. That's Tony Sparano Jr., who is an assistant from the Giants. So we'll finally get Zach's take on that. So it's not Roy Istvan. What do you think, man?
Yeah, it's pretty unfortunate. You know, I mean, Roy Istvan was obviously the guy that we all wanted. At least that's who I want. I know I kind of convinced all of you guys to be about. I had someone send me a message being like, a week ago, nobody knew who Roy Istvan was, and now we're all super upset that he's not in Indianapolis. I'm like, yeah, you know, maybe I have that impact on on people's brains sometimes. But no, it is unfortunate. You know, I think Roy Istvan still, when you look at this whole coaching staff and looking at who they could have gotten, that was the top guy. Like, that's the guy that you needed to get. The guy who worked close with Jeff Stoutland, the guy who's been part of that running game, part of that development there. I think that was the easy hire that they should have made. But I'm not going to write off Tony Sparano Jr. yet. Like, you know, I can't write off the guy before we've actually seen him. And, you know, this is a guy who's worked with quite a few talented, smart offensive line coaches in his past. You know, Coach Campen there in Carolina 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. I think he worked under Doug Marrone in Jacksonville, and Doug Marrone has a great reputation as an offensive line coach. And then obviously his father, Tony Sparano, as well. You know, there's a lot of good connections there with him. Now, one thing I'll say to say kind of negative here, though, is his history is not great. His history is not great. If you look at the offensive line performances that he's, you know, the staffs that he's been on, they've statistically ranked 25th or worse in pass block efficiency, according to Pro Football Focus. Mm-hmm. Our colleague Andrew Moore put that out there on Twitter yesterday. You guys go check that out there on Twitter. But yeah, so reputation wise and kind of past work wise, I'm not a super big fan of this hire, but he is a young guy, young, energetic guy who has worked under some smart coaches. It could work. You know, I'm not going to write it off completely yet. And who knows, maybe they brought in guys like Roy Istvan, they brought in George Warhop, and they were like, you know what? These older guys are too much like Chris Strasser. Yeah. We want to go with a young guy that's completely different energy wise and just style wise to maybe, you know, punch these offensive linemen in the face a little bit, you know? So maybe that's the way they decided to go with it. So I'm not going to write it off yet, but yeah, at the end of the day, I'm pretty upset. It's not Roy Istvan. I still feel like that was the most likely hire, the more obvious one they should have made. And now I'm also kind of wondering, what are they going to do with like run game coordinator? You know, is that going to be Tony Sparano Jr.? Because that's what Stoutland did there in Philly. What are the Colts going to do about that? Or is it going to be more of a load on Steichen? So yeah, I have some questions after this. I'm not writing it off at all. But yeah, you know, Tony Sparano Jr., he could be a really good coach for them.
Yeah, we'll see. Like you said, you know, maybe they decided to go against the whole old guy thing, you know, Istvan and, you know, Strasser was a little up there. Maybe player development is the thing that caught their eye. Cause you know, with the Panthers, you had Brady Christensen, who Destin Adams wrote about that when he did the, you know, meet Tony Sparano Jr. piece on horseshoehuddle.com the other day. Brady Christensen had some good development. Andrew Thomas from the Giants became one of the better NFL tackles last year under Sparano being the assistant. So how much of that is attributed to him? So development may be the thing. They have their own guy to develop in Bernard Raimann, so that could be a big part of it as well. It'll be interesting to see if we ever find out, like, what was the difference between bringing in a long-established guy or going for this, young up and comer. So we'll see there.
Yeah. And another thing I want to throw in there too is, remember, there was this huge, huge, huge thing about Brian Daboll's staff that he built last year, that he went around the league and grabbed the assistants that were most sought after, guys that deserve, you know, new roles or new chances, guys that he thought were legitimate coaches. It wasn't very much like that nepotism thing. And I'm not, you know, obviously Tony Sperano Jr. is a little bit of a nepotism baby, you know, from his father being, that's why he's where he is in the NFL.
Joined the but Dolphin staff it, with him.
Yeah, exactly. Like, that's why he's here in the league. But, you know, Brian Daboll, a really smart coach, a coach that we all respect and a coach that we all think is great at what he does, evaluated Tony Sperano Jr. when he was making that staff last year and decided to bring him aboard, you know, and, and I'm not saying that Giants offensive line was great. It was not very good whatsoever, but Tony Sperano Jr. is a coach that Brian Daboll, you know, he's thought out. So I don't know. I'm not going to write it off. Like I said, I'm not a super big fan of it, but if you guys are looking for some connections between Tony Sperano Jr. and the Colts, you know, he was working under Bobby Johnson there out there with New York. Bobby Johnson obviously worked with Indy, I think, back in 2019.
Yeah, he was here in the not too distant past. He was an offensive line assistant under Googe, I think.
I think he was under Googe. I think he stayed 1 year under Strasser too, and before Clayton Adams came over.
Yeah. Yep. He was Clayton Adams' predecessor.
Right.
Yeah. But, you know, another connection, you know, DeAndre Smith, the Giants running backs coach, who apparently is now the Colts running backs coach, you know, I'm sure he vouched for him at least a little bit. And Zach had mentioned, you know, what are they going to do about the run game coordination? Maybe those guys will play in it together. Maybe Tom Manning, tight ends coach.
Right.
You don't know if they're going to give any one guy the title of run game coordinator, but perhaps those three will work together on it. You don't really know, but
yeah. And there's still time in the offseason here. You know, we might get a Greg Roman, for instance, as a run game coordinator. Yeah. That, you know, that's a bigger fish right there, but there's other people that they could look at to fill that role. So it's early. I'm not going to write it off yet. I'm not counting Tony Sperano Jr. out, but I would have liked Roy Estevan.
Yeah.
Obviously. I'm not going to hide that, guys. I'm not going to pretend here and hide it. You know, we're in the back corner here at the combine, and I've just been back here crying all morning. So, we're hiding, and I'm just crying. We have the exit sign behind us. So I'm going to run off here if it's, you know, with any of it. But yeah, no, it is what it is. I can't complain too much.
Yeah. We can't kill it until we see how it works on the field. But before we talk about Gus Bradley and most of his staff sticking around, we want to talk to you guys about FanDuel, which is America's number one sports book. So the midway point of the NBA season is coming past. All-star breaks out of here. LeBron James hurt, LaMelo Ball is hurt now. So that's rough, but don't let it deter you from betting. Because now's the perfect time to download FanDuel, because customers get a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. That's bonus bets back if your first bet doesn't hit. Just download the FanDuel Sports app. It's safe, secure, and super easy to use. Then you can bet on everything from the money line to point scores and how many three-pointers get drained.
And Jake, that was an amazing flub you had there at the beginning, because you said Lonzo instead of LaMelo. Lonzo's hurt too. So you were just, you know,
it's rough out there.
Everyone's hurt right now in the NBA. But don't worry, guys. You can still find fun with FanDuel. Plus, FanDuel even lets you combine your bets for a chance at a bigger payout with same game parlay. So don't miss your chance at your no sweat first bet up to $1,000 with bonus bets when you go to FanDuel.com/lockedon. That's FanDuel.com/lockedon to learn more. Make every moment more with FanDuel, official sports betting partner of the NBA.
Hey, everyone. Oh, okay. All right. So next up, we're going to discuss Gus Bradley staying in town with some special guests. So that one wasn't much of a surprise. Gus Bradley and Shane Steichen were out there together with the Chargers for a while, and Steichen wasn't really committal about that at his introductory press conference, but we all kind of thought that he was going to stick around for that. So Gus Bradley definitely deserved another season here in Indy. That defense carried the whole team, while the offense was just floundering and struggling the whole time. So, you know, they had their best sack production they've had in like a decade. You know, they did all this without Shaquille Leonard. They got some really good performances out of people. So, yeah. What are you thinking about Bradley sticking around?
Yeah, you know, I can't complain whatsoever. Gus Bradley, I think, did a great job this past season with the Indianapolis Colts. You know, obviously towards the end of the season, that defense fell off big time, but the whole team kind of fell off big time when a certain thing happened halfway through the year. I can't remember what it was, but something happened halfway through the year where this team went from like a below average team to a horrible team.
Just a snowball of it.
Yeah, yeah. And the defense was also a part of that suffering there after that. So when, you know, I don't really put all that on Gus Bradley, because when you look at early in the season, you even look at some of the stuff midway through the season after that supposed move happened, you know, the Philadelphia Eagles were in the Super Bowl, you know, mm-hmm. one of the better teams in football, held to 17 points by this defense.
Yeah.
The Kansas City Chiefs won the Super Bowl, held to 16 points by this Colts
defense.
Their
lowest total in years, I
think. Yeah, their lowest total.
First or second lowest with Mahomes. Yeah.
Right, right. So, I mean, I think there was a lot of good things with Gus Bradley, and I think just another year with him and having these guys getting familiar with that scheme, like just more and more familiar with that scheme, is only going to do wonders for a lot of these players. We saw some breakout seasons from guys like Kwity Paye, had a really strong year before he got hurt. Dio Adangbo had a really strong second year. And Zaire Franklin was phenomenal. And I'm just excited to see all those guys going forward with the same coaching staff. So, yeah, I think this is the smart move for Indy. You know, obviously, and you know, Shane Steichen, he trusts Gus Bradley. He knows Gus Bradley. Mm-hmm. And he feels like this is a good thing for him. So, yeah, no complaints whatsoever. I like Gus Bradley as a coach, and I'm really glad they're bringing him back.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned those guys, because it felt like a season of development for a lot of guys. You know, you were looking for second, third year jumps from some of them. Even Stephon Gilmore came in and kind of revitalized his career.
Yeah.
Rodney McLeod. So it seems like whatever Bradley and his staff has going on, they're really good at communicating the plan to the players and kind of getting the most out of them. Now, there were some bumps in the road with some of the pre-existing Colts who were used to Matt Eberflus's scheme, but by the end of the season, things were really rolling. And you gotta, like, it's gonna make a difference with some free agents too. Like, I remember talking to Bobby Okereke after the season.
Right, good call.
He loved what linebackers coach Rick Smith brought to the table. And I asked him, I was like, is coaching staff gonna be a determining factor in where you decide to go? That and financially are gonna be two of the biggest factors for Bobby specifically. So, you know, bringing Gus back in a season where he already did well, he's probably gonna be able to bring some players back. So I'm all for it.
Yeah, and I think Bobby Okereke, I don't know if it was when he talked to you or if he talked to someone else, he mentioned that he wanted to stay with this kind of scheme going forward, which there we go. If you guys want Bobby Okereke back, this is a great sign. And honestly, all things pointing this offseason, I think Brad Spielberger of Pro Football Focus wrote an article where he projected Bobby Okereke to get 3 years, $8.5 million per year.
That would be a blessing.
Right, right. So if Bobby Okereke wants to stay in this type of scheme, and he's only asking for that much, like, I think that's an easy move right there to keep him with Richard Smith, keep him with Gus Bradley, keep him with everything that he was working on last year. So I think this opens up a lot of things. You know, Rodney McLeod, like you mentioned, career season, was a veteran presence in that safety room. Obviously, as an older player, he'd like to have more success, but if he's open to staying with what just worked this past season for him, there we go. We could have another free agent coming back to Indy. So I think this is going to lead to a lot of good things for the Colts. And you know, when you looked early in the season at what this defense was doing, they were playing some really good football, really, really good football. And if they can just add some more players to this group and just kind of keep that cohesivity, I'm all for Gus Bradley. Like, I think this is just a really good bring back for them.
Yeah, and I'm also interested to see what some of the, like, some of the assistant coaches, like, you've got younger guys like Cato June and Mike Mitchell.
Right.
Nate Ollie's running the whole defensive line. So their development under Bradley and with these same players, that could be something intriguing to watch as well. See if they become sought after for positions with other teams. That could be interesting. So I think we saw some growth from Gus Bradley throughout last season.
Yeah.
We thought we knew initially what he was going to be like, and then we saw him making some changes that people have been clamoring for. So it showed he wasn't as stubborn as we might have thought initially. He was willing to kind of change a little bit. Moving into season two of Gus Bradley, is there anything different that you would like to see him implement or something different you want to see from him?
No, I mean, there are some minor things. Obviously, I'm not going to come out here and say that he was perfect all year, because that would just be a lie, obviously. Like, one thing, for instance, you know, he kind of got stuck with his guys, you know.
Yeah.
Brandon Faison obviously is the biggest example of that. But other examples, you know, Yannick Ngakoue was playing way too many snaps this past season, and he was just getting worn and worn down in that run game, and it just wasn't leading to productive things for the Colts. Rodney McLeod, although he had an amazing season, was kind of hindering the development of some of the younger guys behind him and playing time. You know, you want to see a little bit more rotation and a little more trust in other players outside of just his guys,
yeah.
You know? So I think there are some things I'd like to see in that aspect. And then on top of that, you know, obviously mixing coverage is a little bit more, like you said, he wasn't just the cover three guy mm-hmm. that we expected when he came in. Like there were more cover one aspects. There was more man coverage, but again, more cover two, more quarters. This is a predominantly quarters NFL right now. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying I want to see Gus Bradley go to 70% quarters coverage, but maybe more than what he was showing yeah. last year. He did mix it in a little bit, but you know, there's always room for obviously more diversity. So yeah, I think there are some little things he can change, and he's far from perfect, but he did show a lot of things this past season, you know, with his cover one usage, with his man coverage usage, where, you know, we could see a very different Gus Bradley going forward. And I think that's a great sign. And again, just a great move to bring him back for next season.
Yeah, we're all for it. So I think that is it for us today. We're going to be back with you guys tomorrow to talk all about the combine. We're going to try and get some guests that we actually intend to have on the show this time around. maybe not as many crashers. Shane Steichen and Chris Ballard are going to speak on Wednesday afternoon. So we'll tell you all about that, our takes on what they had to say. And yeah, look out for bonus content from us on social and on YouTube throughout the week, because we'll be trying to bring it hot and heavy.
Right, guys. Yeah, these episodes right here are gonna be the meat, but we're gonna have way too much gravy on top of this meat throughout the week. That's what I've been telling Jake. We're gonna have more gravy than you can expect on the meat with all the little interviews and little short clips and stuff like that, which I don't know if you guys are like me on Thanksgiving, but gravy is the main ingredient on everything.
I'm pretty surprised that you like gravy. That seems like a hot take for you.
It does. I love gravy, man. I do.
You guys doing good?
Yeah, yeah, we're doing good, man. Guys, that is all we have for today. Make sure you guys are following Locked On Colts at Locked On Colts, at Jake Arthur NFL, and at Zach Hicks 2 on Twitter. Also subscribe to Locked On Colts on YouTube, where we listen to your podcast. And we'd love your ratings and reviews, guys. Tell us you love the show. That'd be fun. Go on there and tell us. Thanks for making Locked On Colts your first listen every day. Now make your second listen Locked On NFL Draft. Damian Parson and Keith Sanchez provide in-depth coverage of the biggest NFL draft prospects with deep dives into sleepers and hidden gems that can change your favorite NFL franchise. Find Locked On NFL Draft wherever you get your podcast and on YouTube. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. We'll see you guys tomorrow.